WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the 4th and Goal podcast, WVUA-FM 90.7's number one podcast for all things college football. I'm your host, Caden Johnson, joined by my co-host today, Braden Friedman and Nicholas Elliott. And today we are going to continue our series of conference previews with the Big Ten. First off, guys, how are we doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah, doing great.
Well, college football season is actually coming up kind of close. I think we're at like 136 days now until week zero. So
yes, 136 days until we get to watch Vanderbilt in Hawaii.
Yeah, that's a big time matchup right there.
That's a prime time matchup.
Yeah, who's must watch TV.
Someone's playing in Navy and someone else is playing in Ireland.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. What was the Ireland game last year? Wasn't it Northwestern and
Nebraska?
Yeah, and I remember like after that game thinking both of those teams were like not that bad.
No, they're
but
bad.
Yeah, they were actually just both bad, and so yeah, that's how that went. Vanderbilt Hawaii though, that's a must watch TV though. 136 days until we get to witness that great display of college football
of the Commodores and the Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah,
Navy Notre Dame is in
Navy Notre Dame.
Yep.
Okay, and that's week zero.
That's right. Actually a pretty good matchup.
Yeah, so that's like what, like the last week of August, maybe.
Yeah, August 26th.
All right, so yeah, it's not that far away. We're like mid-April right now, so a little bit less than 4 months, maybe, if my math is right, or a little bit more than 4 months. Yeah, until we get to see that. But we're gonna go ahead and get into our Big Ten preview, about the same style as we did the SEC one. I'm going to list a bunch of over and unders for team win totals. We're going to discuss if we think the team will finish higher or lower. And then we'll go over our reward or award predictions, OPOY, DPOY, and a breakout player. And then, of course, we'll do our conference championship prediction. We'll start off with the big dog, the team that made the college football playoff last year, lost to TCU in one of the better college football playoff matchups of all time, Michigan. Michigan's over-under total for their wins this year is set to 10.5. Guys, what do we think?
I'm fully going over that. I think Michigan is going to open as the favorite on books towards the beginning of the year on, like, Caesars or whatever. Whatever Vegas has it as, I think that Michigan will be the favorite. They're offense is so good. They're going to have Corum returning. They're going to have McCarthy develop a little bit more into a pocket passer, and that air raid could be more in display for Michigan. But I think they still got to keep it on the ground with Corum. But, I mean, they might have a few hiccups on defense eventually, but I think that Michigan is the juggernaut of the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go over. I like what Michigan's bringing back, and they still got Jim Harbaugh. Getting poached by the NFL every single year and still staying. I think I think they're going to lose maybe to Penn State. I think they're going to beat Ohio State for a third straight year. And I think they're going to go 11-1 and win the Big Ten.
I'm going to hammer the over too, but I don't even know if I see Michigan losing a game this year. I could easily see them going 12-0. They're returning 65% of total production, which is ninth in Big Ten. So that's not that great, but they're returning the big guys, especially on offense, McCarthy, Corum, Donovan Edwards is another huge guy for them. Losing a little bit of that receiving core, but they didn't really rely on the passing game too much last year up until the end of the season against teams like Ohio State and TCU. It helps them a lot that their non-conference schedule is very weak, as it was last year too. East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green is who they opened the year with. They don't really have that many tough games as far as the Big Ten Conference goes. Minnesota on the road could be a trap game. Michigan State on the road is always going to be a tough game for them. But if they make it, I just don't see them losing two of those games. Like Nick said, I think they beat Ohio State. They'll be in the big house, so at home for that one. I see Michigan winning 12 games, honestly, and going 12-0, but I definitely don't think they'll lose two games in the regular season this year. So I like the over for Michigan. Next up, we have the other side of the game, Ohio State. Ohio State coming off a really heartbreaking loss against Georgia, as the new year began, they missed the field goal by a lot. Wasn't even close, but they'll keep that in mind next year. They're losing Stroud, but they have Marvin Harrison coming back, who's one of the best players in the country, regardless of position. Ohio State's win total, the same as Michigan, is set to 10.5. What do we think?
I'm going to say under this year. I think this is a year that Ohio State ends up in Pasadena, in the Rose Bowl. I think that it's not their year to win the division, although they could surprise me. The new quarterback change could mean a lot. Only have losing JSN and Marvin Harrison being the main target could put him in a lot of double coverage and stuff like that. That could change the way that the offense has to operate. It'll be a new style of play from Ohio State's offense for sure. And I don't know, with the amount of road games they have, that they could lose like Michigan, Wisconsin. And then, you know, there's always other tough teams in there that could be better than we think they are, like Iowa or Michigan State and Minnesota, that have a chance of maybe taking down the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go under. I just see them losing to Notre Dame and Michigan, maybe even Penn State at home. It's just different. They're going to have a new quarterback. I mean, they still have Marvin Harrison, who's going to be the top five pick in the draft. But I just think that they will suffer. I don't know.
Yeah, new quarterback. McCord will be at the helm for Ohio State this year. Luckily for them, they don't have – well, okay, so they don't actually have the toughest non-conference schedule. They do have that Notre Dame game on the road. I think they could easily drop that one. Outside of that, though, they play Youngstown State and Western Kentucky. Not the worst schedule for Ohio State this year. There's a couple of games that could potentially be trap games. Maybe Purdue on the road. They've had struggles recently with Purdue in the past.
The Spoilermakers,
exactly. Wisconsin on the road, that's not going to be an easy game. And then, of course, Michigan on the road at the end of the year. I actually agree with you guys. I'm going to go under on Ohio State. I think this is another year where Ohio State could be a Rose Bowl team. I just really think it's Michigan's division right now. I think we're in a Michigan era, so to speak. I just think that Michigan's just the better team right now. But one thing about Ohio State, they are second in returning production for the Big Ten with 73%. They are losing Travion Henderson, JSN, CJ Stroud. But as teams like Ohio State do, they reload at those skill positions, especially on the offensive end. I think Ohio State will be really good this year, but I am going to go under. I think they could easily lose two games in the combination of Notre Dame, Michigan, Michigan, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Minnesota. Any two games like that, I think they could lose. So I think the safe pick would be the under for Ohio State. Moving on to the third powerhouse, if you want to call them that, of the East Division and the Big Ten, we have Penn State. The Nittany Lions line is set to 9.5 going into the year. Penn State doesn't have the toughest non-conference schedule, but they have some tough games. What do you guys think about Penn State at 9.5?
I feel like that's a pretty solid line for them. There's part of me that wants to think that Penn State's going to have another 10-win year, but there's part of me that thinks that Penn State could slip up a little bit after the loss in the Rose Bowl. But I think Penn State, I don't know. That's Penn State's kind of a big question mark in my head, because they could come into the season super overrated because of where they were in the division, but they also could find their way towards the top of that division with Ohio State not being as strong this year. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say they get 10 wins again, but don't be surprised if they have 8 or 9.
I think they're going to go over this year. Ooh, West Virginia, the first game.
Yeah, tough. That's tough, yeah.
At least it's at home for them. I think they're going to go 10-2 this year. Maybe. This is James Franklin's, make or break deal. I mean, they've been wanting him to be gone. I mean, fans have been up his neck around, asking for him to do something. I mean, they got a really good quarterback coming in, Drew Allar. Yeah. Taking over for Sean Clifford. I think and they got two running backs coming back from last year, two freshmen who were really good. So I just think they're going to go over, because I think they might pull off against Michigan. So surely they don't lose a game they shouldn't, but that's been happening for James Franklin.
Yeah, it's just Penn State just doesn't really win those big games often. And I don't know. It's hard for me to sit here and say and predict them to do that, especially when they have Ohio State on the road this year.
Oh, that wideout game against Michigan.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. They will definitely wide out against Michigan.
That'll be another clip of them all walking out on the field, Mo Bamba in the background.
But they're losing probably their two best corners. Obviously, losing Sean Clifford.
Joey Porter, that dude was a locked
up. Yeah, Joey Porter is probably going to be a first-round pick in this year's draft.
Yeah.
That being said, like Nick said, West Virginia is going to be a tough game to open the season on. They get the University of Delaware after that, and then later in the season they play UMass for their final non-conference game. I think that they should be fine in that regard. I think they'll go 3-0 in those games. But they do have some tough games. Illinois on the road, Iowa. Ohio State on the road, Maryland on the road, Michigan State on the road. It's going to be a tough season for the Nittany Lions with the new QB. I think Alar won't be too much worse than Sean Clifford, but this year is going to be kind of settling in for him. I think I'm going to go with the under for Penn State. I like them at 9 wins. I don't think they'll be any worse than 9 wins. Really, I see them winning 10 games before I see them winning 8, but I am going to go under just because I really like them at that 9-3 spot for Penn State. Moving over to the West Division, we have Iowa. Iowa's line is set to 8.5. This was obviously probably one of the worst offenses I've seen from a power football team ever last season, but they have some transfers coming in. They have Cade McNamara. They are returning like almost their entire offense, I'm pretty sure, other than Petras, which is probably a good thing for Iowa fans. Yeah. But other than that, and you know, it helps that they're in the West, so they're in the weaker division of the Big Ten. Iowa's line set to 8.5. Great defense, questionable offense. What do you guys think?
I'm sticking right. I'm going to go under. Say they win 8 games. Exactly 8 games. I think Iowa, while their offense is a problem, their defense is good enough to keep them in games, and I think they'll squeeze out maybe a few close ones. They wouldn't if their defense keeps them in the game, but that offense, they're going to go from averaging, what, like 14 to 17 points a game to maybe 24 to 27. I mean, I couldn't tell you every single score of Iowa's games last year, but I'm sure that they could have gotten an extra 2 or 3 games out of it, and I think that they're going to get an extra 2 or 3 games out of it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to be necessarily – I'm not confident enough in Iowa to be like they're going to be in the Big Ten championship, even though they've kind of been in the head of that West division. I mean, Illinois and Wisconsin are going to be sneaky tests for them, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go over just because what they're bringing back. They're bringing back a good bit of the production, and they're going to have a much better quarterback than Spencer Petras. And I don't know. A lot of their tough games are all their tough games are on the road. If they just lose like 3 of those games, and then they went out 9-3. I think they're going to lose to Wisconsin and Penn State. Tough game is Iowa State. I could see them beating that game as a rivalry game. I could see them going in Ames and beating Iowa State, but. Yeah, I don't know. I just think they're a much better offense. They're going to probably score from 14 points a game to 20 points a game, and that could win them a couple more ball games.
Yeah, I feel like Iowa's had the upper hand on Iowa State historically. They don't have the easiest non-conference schedule. They got Utah State, Iowa State on the road, and then Western Michigan. They do play Penn State on the road. That's going to be a tough game. Yeah. Michigan State at home. Wisconsin on the road's tough.
I think that Michigan State game would decide if they're going over or under.
I agree. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. That stretch in general, you got a 5-game stretch of Penn State on the road, Michigan State and Purdue at home, Wisconsin on the road, and then Minnesota at home before your bye week. That stretch alone is going to be – if they can go 3-2 in that stretch, they'll definitely hit their over, I think.
I think that Wisconsin game will decide the division.
Yeah, because they come out of that bye week and they have Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, and Nebraska. They could go 4-0 in that stretch, and they probably should.
Yeah, Nebraska would be a tough.
Yeah, game. Nebraska on the road is obviously that's tough rivalry weekend on a Friday.
Did they lose? They lost last year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
At home, so
yeah.
So that'll be tough, but I do think that the midseason five-game stretch right there. If they can go 3-2 in that stretch, then they should be okay with their over. I'm actually going to take their over. I like them winning 9 games. I think their absolute ceiling is probably 10, but that's if Cade McNamara gets there and just clicks and their offense just finds some sort of identity. I know the deal with their offensive coordinator where they have to average 25 points per game this year for him to keep his job, Ferentz's son.
So maybe they are going to average 28.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to average 25 just to just for him to keep his job.
Running
so.
It every play.
Yeah, got to get some motivation there. I do like Iowa this year, though. I think that their defense is going to be probably top 5 in college football.
Yeah.
Offense, I just don't think it can be any worse than what it was last year. Had they had a okay offense last year, they probably would have been 9-3, 10-2. So as far as Iowa, I do like them going over. I could see them going 9-3 for sure this year. Sticking in the West Division, we have Northwestern. Northwestern is coming off a really rough year. We talked about them earlier in the show. They started the year with that tough loss to Nebraska.
They won that game.
No, they won? Oh, they came back. No, you're right. I knew it was a comeback, but I didn't remember who it was or which team came back. So Northwestern actually came back and beat Nebraska in that game and then stumbled for the rest of the year. I want to say they probably lost like 6 or 7 straight games after that or something. It was something crazy. Northwestern's win total is set to 3.5. Not too much going for the Wildcats.
It's an under.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
Under.
It's hard to put an under on a 3.5 line, but I don't see anything that from Northwestern that makes me confident enough that they're going to win more than 2 in conference games. You know, they can maybe take Rutgers. It looks like they got a game against Duke, and they should take their non-conference, but a lot of the times you see
Duke is good. Duke is tough. Duke is
Riley Leonard, he's
Duke,
really good.
Yeah, Duke
they're
will
beatable,
be a good
though,
team in the ACC.
For Northwestern.
Yeah. Well, just they're playing on the road, though. If you get, like, the 30-miles-an-hour winds they were getting when they were playing the Ohio State
yeah,
year,
dude,
they can win some games.
They just
got to
hope for
bad
for some. Yeah, because that's how they're going to stay in games is – yeah. Stuff that's not necessarily in their control.
If the other team doesn't score more than 21 points.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you any of the bright spots in that team.
Yeah, there's nothing that screams out to me of why Northwestern should be a four or five win. They're definitely not going to make a bowl game.
Yeah, under.
It's a rough year for those.
For Pat.
60 minutes away from Chicago.
For Fitzgerald.
Yeah, Fitzgerald might be Fitzgone.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to – I don't know. Can't get much better in Northwestern.
I mean, I just
– building a nice stadium, though.
I'm looking at this, and I'm not even seeing how the line can be set at 3.5. I don't see how you can call them to win 4 games.
I don't know what – I think I could see him winning 2 games.
I think I'd go under if it was 3 flat.
Yeah.
I mean, UTEP and Howard are the only ones that I could see being wins on here. And then Duke's their other
non-conference.
They could be Rutgers.
They could be Iowa.
They could beat, like, Maryland or Iowa at home. Or maybe Purdue. But I'm going to go
under.
You don't
think they'd beat Rutgers?
Not on the road. Rutgers is improving. Rutgers, I mean – I don't see Northwestern beating Rutgers. UTEP, I think they beat UTEP and Howard. I don't know if they win a game in the Big Ten, and even if they do, that would still put them at 3-9, which would be under. So I am going to go under for Northwestern.
Wasn't UTEP ranked at the end of the year?
No, that was UTSA.
UTSA
is
my bad.
Yeah, it's easy to get them mixed up. They're the same colors.
Same state.
Yeah.
Same conference.
Yeah. So UTEP at home and Howard at home, 2 dubs. I think Duke is actually going to be good next year. No, I could see Duke going 8-4, winning their division in the ACC maybe next year.
They're going to have to win 2 Big Ten games.
What was Duke this last year? 8-4, or were they?
I don't know.
I think it was 8-4.
They were
7-5, maybe something like that.
I don't think they had 8 wins.
They had a good quarterback though.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Of course, we're going to go down this rabbit hole right now. I'm looking up how many wins Duke.
They made a bowl game.
I feel like they had 6 wins. I feel like they weren't that.
No, they definitely have more than 6.
I don't know. I don't remember ever hearing about Duke being in the conversation of an 8-win team. Maybe they have
Duke
7.
Was 9-4 last year.
Huh.
Because they won their bowl game. Went 8-4 and then won their bowl game.
That's a shocker.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized Duke had put together that good of a team.
So, yeah, that. But anyways, yeah, Northwestern under. I think we can all agree on that. Northwestern not going to have the best year next year. Moving back over to the East, we got Indiana, probably the worst team in the East next year, if I had to guess. Their line is set to 4 flat. They opened the year off playing Ohio State too, so you know, not the most ideal start for the Hoos.
I don't even think they saw Connor Bazelak.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Obviously, Penix, who used to be on their team a couple years ago, is thriving right now at Washington. He'll be one of the best QBs in college football. Yeah, he'll be one of the best QBs in college football next year. Indiana guys, what do you think?
Under.
I want to push here. I say they get their a fourth win. I see them squeaking out a conference win. I mean, they're a good enough team if they can. I mean, they're not that much better than Northwestern, but I feel like they're good enough that they should be able to get 4 wins.
Yeah, I see 2 wins in that non-conference.
Yeah, they definitely.
I don't see them beating Louisville.
Okay, so Louisville is more so at home. They're playing in Lucas Oil.
Yeah,
but even then, I just don't know.
I don't know. You see Rutgers, you see Purdue, you see like Maryland, and I'll push here. I'll just take the 4 wins.
Yeah,
it's kind of a safe spot for
push
them.
I don't
see them winning more than 4 games though. But yes. I don't see them losing. I don't see them only winning 3 games though. I don't think Indiana fans are gonna
push or under. That's probably, if you're betting on it, you might as well just stay away.
Yeah, that's a bad line. Stay away from it. That's a trap.
You're not gonna make any money off
it. I agree. I'm feeling a 4-8 season for Indiana. They got Indiana State, Louisville, Akron. They should win at least 2 of those games. They might can squeak out against Louisville. Like Braden said, I could see them pulling off an upset, maybe beating
Rutgers
Purdue or Illinois on the road late in the year.
Rutgers and Illinois will be there if they push in Purdue.
Yeah,
Rutgers, Illinois, Purdue. Those if they can win one of those games, they should be able to push.
Yeah.
I like Indiana winning 4 games exactly. I don't think they'll win any more. If anything, they'll win less. Speaking of Rutgers, that's our next team up. Rutgers right above Indiana, set at 4.5.
Right.
What do you guys think about Rutgers?
I think that Rutgers is not necessarily a great athletic school. I don't know enough about Rutgers' team, but I'm just going to – I'll give them the benefit of the doubt with the last two being major unders. I said they're good enough for a 5-win team, but they got kind of a tough schedule. But,
yeah,
I mean, they got
hard.
They got Northwestern and Virginia Tech. I think they should be able to beat those two teams. And then they've got some – non-conference games that should be pretty easy for them. So it's not impossible to say that they squeak out maybe like Indiana or I mean, even though I was kind of betting on Indiana beforehand, kind of like in that game, I kind of like them at 5 wins. I think 4 or 5, it's kind of like that line is really good for what they're at. Not gambling advice, but stay away from it.
I'm going to go I don't know. That schedule's too tough.
I don't want to take.
I don't think they make a bowl game. So is that 4.5?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's it.
Because I don't want to say they're going to lose.
We're going to win 3 conference games and 1 non-conference. I think they're going to end at 4 wins, maybe 5 or 6.
You think they lose to Temple?
No, I think they win. I think they lose Virginia Tech.
Okay, so non-conference, they have Wagner, Temple, and Vatek.
I think they should be able to take 2 or 3 of those.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I think they beat Temple and Wagner, obviously.
I think they start the year 2-0.
I think Votek's an L. I think Northwestern should be a dub.
The Indiana game, again, like I said for Indiana, that Indiana game will probably be the factor if they go over.
If they go over,
I could see Votek being it too. Because they do get Virginia Tech at home.
I could see them beating Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like the Rutgers home field advantage is really
bad. Yeah. That's a good point. It's just more, and it's not too far of a travel for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, it's really just like hop on a quick train ride from DC to Jersey and
For Rutgers, 4.5 definitely is a little bit on the high side. I'm gonna go under just because their conference schedule is tough. The only really bad teams they play when it comes to conference play is Indiana and Northwestern. And Indiana's on the road, and that's not really a gimme. yeah. As much as Northwestern is, at least.
Temple might still have Kirk Warner's son. Or did he transfer? I don't know.
I have no clue. But, yeah, I'm going to go under for Rutgers, and I'm actually pretty confident with that under pick. Moving back over to the West, we have Nebraska. Nebraska is a pretty weird team this year. I think they should. We all talked about before the show, they need to make a bowl game this year. No more Scott Frost in Nebraska. Their line set to 5.5. Guys, what do you think?
Over.
Yeah, we both like the over.
Yeah, I really think Nebraska at its roots is a football school, and I just that program really needs to come back and make a bowl game. I wouldn't even be surprised if Nebraska got 7 wins this year.
I could see that.
But they're gonna get their 6 wins. They don't have a super challenging schedule. They really only need to win 3 games in their conference, and I think that they should be able to do that.
Ooh, open with 2 road games. Yeah, they probably have to go play Coach Prime. That'll be a good game.
Yeah, week two. Sorry, Nebraska plays Colorado on the road.
That'll be a good game.
I think Colorado will probably take that game, though. I think they're
at Colorado in Boulder. I feel like Boulder is going to have a really good atmosphere this year.
They're going to show up this year at those games for
usually
sure.
It's away team taking over Colorado.
Yeah, they've got a real shot at maybe even making it to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I mean, Casey Thompson, he's shined in some moments. I know they lost Trey Palmer. He was a really good receiver for them. But I just think Matt Rhule, the going from Scott Frost to Matt Rhule is a big jump, especially. It didn't work out for Matt Rhule in the NFL, but he was a college coach at heart. And he really turned around Temple. I mean, he turned around Baylor, too. Baylor was at...
That was after the Art Briles stuff,
and they brought him all the way. I think they got him to like 10-2 or something.
I mean, I think that Baylor went from like 3-9 to 10-2 or something crazy like that. I feel like a lot of people get so caught up in Matt Rhule's NFL career that they forget he was on fire as a college coach with Temple and with Baylor.
There's a reason why he got hired.
In the NFL. Yeah, there was a reason why someone took a chance on him is because he's an absolute beast at the collegiate level. I think he'll continue that up with Nebraska. That being said, I think that he is going to need a year to kind of sit in with Nebraska. I don't know if they hit their over this year. I just don't see them winning Minnesota and Colorado to start the year off. I think they get wins against Northern Illinois and La Tech at home after that, but then they lose to Michigan. Illinois is going to be kind of a toss-up. Northwestern should be a win. Purdue is a toss-up.
Last
four games are tough. It's Michigan State on the road, Maryland at home, Wisconsin on the road, Iowa at home. I think all four of those could easily be L's.
I think they could squeak out a win against Maryland.
I could see them squeaking out a win.
I'm going to stick to my hater side today, and I'm gonna go under for Nebraska. I think they go 5-7. That being said, I don't think that Matt Rhule is gonna be a bad coach. I think that Nebraska is gonna be on their way up, especially with thanks to Rhule. I just don't think this is the year. That end of season schedule is tough. Like that's probably about as hard of a 4-game stretch as
anybody
in the country almost.
And
that's tough.
You just want to see Nebraska. Everybody wants to see Nebraska be back just because they sell out every single game. And that's the only team they have in their town. They don't really have any pro teams around them. So it's just like
they always show up, win or lose. They pack that place out. Those Husker fans just want to see
Nebraska is definitely one of those schools that's like college football is better when Nebraska's good.
Yeah. You read my mind. I was about to say that.
But. Yeah. Yeah. So moving on, up next we have Illinois. Illinois' line is set to 6. Illinois actually had a pretty solid year last year, especially with Chase Allen. Yeah, Chase. He was
Chase Brown.
Up for Heisman for a lot of the year. One of the best running backs in college football last year. Illinois' line is set to 6. They're returning a good bit. Not Chase Brown. Their non-conference is a little iffy. Toledo, Kansas on the road, and then Florida Atlantic. Not the easiest. Not the hardest either. Thankfully for them, though, they're in the West Division of the Big Ten. What do you guys think about 6 for Illinois?
I think that's pretty low for a team that had as good of a year that they did last year. I think they come out again out of the gates hot, and they start kind of dropping some of those tougher games at the end of the year, like Wisconsin, Iowa, But I do think that they get over six wins this year without a question. I think that they have enough returning guys that they'll be able to keep enough of it, and they have the school invested in their football program for sure now.
Yeah, I think they're going to push or go under. I don't know. I think Kansas is going to beat them. I don't know. Just teams like this. Who was their quarterback last year? He was good.
Tommy DeVito, maybe?
Tommy DeVito, yeah. I would really like him. I don't know if he's staying or not.
He's been in college for a long time.
Yeah, I think he's done. But I'm going to say push or under just because that loss of Chase Brown. He was one of the best running backs in the NFL. He's going to get drafted, though. Best running backs in college, and I don't know. I just think loss of him, he scored almost every single touchdown they had.
Yeah.
So I just don't know who's going to be scoring their touchdowns for them. So I'm just going to take under or push.
All right. I'm going to agree with Nick here. I'm going to go push. I think they win against Toledo, Florida Atlantic, Nebraska, Indiana, and Northwestern, and that puts them at 5, and then I think they can steal one of those road games they play, whether it's Kansas or Purdue or Maryland. I think they can steal one of those road games. So I am going to predict that Illinois goes exactly 6-6 this year, squeaks into a bowl game for them. So moving back over to the East, we have Michigan State. Michigan State, Mel Tucker. Mel Tucker's seat is getting a little bit warmer. They need to have a solid year this year. They don't have to have a great year for Mel Tucker to stay, but they definitely need to have a solid year. Their line is set to 6.5. They don't have too hard of a schedule. Open the year with 3 straight non-conference games against Central Michigan, Richmond, and Washington. Washington game is going to be tough, but it is at home, luckily. But yeah, as we were talking about Washington earlier, they have Michael Penix, who will be one of the best quarterbacks in college football.
And Washington, a sneaky like team that was never mentioned the whole year that went into bowl season, the number 10 team in the country.
Exactly. There's a Washington team that, I mean, could be like a gauntlet in the Pac-12. Like they really could be like the best team in the Pac-12 next year.
The Pac-12 loves beating up on each other and making sure they never get to the playoff. But, I mean, Washington, I mean, they got to have USC, too. USC is going to be pretty good again. But I think Washington actually has a defense and USC does not. So this is a Big Ten show. But anyway, back to the actual conference. Back to the Midwest.
Yeah.
The boring farm towns in the Midwest.
Purdue, Michigan State. Yeah, this is weird. I don't know. This is everybody met Mel Tucker contract. I don't know. I'm thinking they'd go under.
I forgot to put a line in when I went down that little rabbit hole there.
It's okay.
I'm gonna. I can't push here.
You can't push 6.5.
Yeah, you can't win half.
I don't know. They're kind of stuck with Mel Tucker. It's tough. They got Peyton Thorne returning.
Yeah, that Washington game is, I think, they're going to be 6-6. I just don't know who's going to be. I don't know who plays for Michigan State enough for me to be confident to say that they're going to win 7 games this year.
They came out the reins, and went.
And then again, Michigan State, just like Nebraska, is one of those teams that like people want to see play good. They're an iconic team.
I just don't see any Kenneth Walkers coming out of there.
They've got some work to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Michigan State gets mauled by Washington, probably kind of like they did last year. I'm not seeing 6.5. This is one of the higher lines. I think one of the worst lines we've seen. This episode so far, I don't see them winning 7 by any means. I have them going 5-7. I think they pick up wins against Central Michigan and Richmond. Maryland's going to be kind of iffy. I could see them winning against Rutgers, Nebraska, and Indiana on the road, but it's just tough. It's tough anytime you got to play Michigan, Penn State,
and Ohio State.
So
and you got to play Washington on that.
Yeah, and Washington. So yeah, tough year for Michigan State again. I think they go 5-7. Back over the West, we got Purdue. Purdue's kind of an interesting team. They made the Big Ten championship game last season. They have a kind of, you know, relatively difficult non-conference schedule. They start the year with Fresno State, Va-Tech on the road, and then Syracuse. Not the easiest non-conference schedule. Purdue's line is set to 6.5, guys. What do you think?
Under.
Yeah, under. But I do kind of like the little spoiler maker story of them maybe pulling off like a major upset at some point of the year, which Purdue, for whatever reason, always seems to find themselves in that situation. Yeah. But I don't see them winning more than 6 games, but I could see them one of their 6 wins being against Ohio State, Penn State, yeah, or Michigan. Or I guess they don't play. No, they do.
Yeah, they got a first-year head coach coming in, or first-year head coach at Purdue, but I think they're going to go under just that with the Vol Tech playing every single Big Ten team. It's a little weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
And Hudson Card's coming in from Texas. I think he's going to be a good fit for him, replacing Aiden O'Connell. But, yeah, I don't know. I just don't see a lot of wins in there. I think they're going to go 6-6 probably. And make a bowl game at least. Good first year.
I'm actually going to differ from you guys here. I'm going to go over for Purdue. I really like them bringing in Hudson Card. I just like what they have at Purdue right now. I think they beat Fresno State, Syracuse, Illinois. And then I think they could definitely beat Ohio State this year. They get them at home. They get Nebraska, Michigan on the road. I think they beat Nebraska. I think they could beat Minnesota at home. And then I think they end the year beating Northwestern on the road and then Indiana at home. I think Purdue wins 7 games next year. I like the Boilermakers going over and going 7.5 or winning 7 games. Moving on to Minnesota. Minnesota's line is set to 7.5. And I actually read an article this morning saying that Minnesota so far has been the most bet on over in college football. So that Minnesota line, a lot of people like to go over for 7.5 for Minnesota. Ooh. What do you guys think? They don't have the easiest schedule.
They had a disappointing year. But
they lost their quarterback.
Yeah, they Tanner lost Morgan's their quarterback. Gone. They got a lot of stuff going their way. But I'm going to fade the majority. I'm going to fade Vegas here and say that they go 7-5. I don't really think Minnesota's good enough with that schedule to pull out 8 wins. But, I mean –
Yeah, I mean, North Carolina and that non-conference on the road, I think they're going to lose that.
Yeah, I'll fade Vegas here in this one. I'd say they go down.
I see
how
many losses I see. I see one. I would say pull off Michigan. I mean, they could pull off Michigan.
I don't
know. Maybe. I mean,
I think the losses in my mind are UNC, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and probably one more game.
Yeah, I see them going exactly 7-5.
Yeah.
They got to win the four the games I have as an L: North Carolina, Michigan, Iowa.
Why are people already Ohio betting State, on Wisconsin. Overs? Minnesota's
degenerates. A bunch of degenerates out there, yeah. Jeez. I am going to agree with y'all on this one. I'm going to fade Vegas, as Braden said. Yeah, fade the public, fade the crowd, be different.
Be sharp.
Not going to be a sheep. I'm going under for Minnesota 7.5. I can't sit here and say that Purdue and Iowa and Wisconsin are all going to go over, and then also say Minnesota's going to go over too. So yeah. I am going to take the Minnesota under here, play it smart. They start off the year with Nebraska on a Thursday night at home. I think they get that one. Same with Eastern Michigan. I think they take a win in that. North Carolina on the road is going to be tough.
That Thursday night game last year in the beginning of the season. Was that Ohio State and Minnesota?
I have no clue. Yeah, but for Minnesota, I think they'll go 6-6, 7-5, one of those two. So yeah, not a terrible year for PJ Fleck and the Golden Gophers, but I don't see them winning 8 games. That's a really high line. Couple more teams here to go, and one of them is Maryland. That'll round up the East Division for us. But as far as Maryland, former Alabama player Talia Tagovailoa leading the Terps this year. He's taken snaps at QB. Towson, Charlotte, and Virginia start the season, playing them as far as their non-conference schedule goes. Maryland's line is same as Minnesota's, set to 7.5. What do you guys think?
I'm going to go over here. They have they're a very similar team skill-wise to Minnesota, but their schedule kind of matches up a little bit better for them with their non-conference. You got Virginia, which They're no easy team to play against, but it's a lot better than having to play North Carolina on the road. And they kind of have some more favorable matchups at home. They don't have to play Ohio State or – no, they don't have to play Michigan. Or wait, no, never mind, they do. I was reading Roth, but they might – I mean, they got to play all the good guys, but I don't know. I see them coming away with Northwestern, Illinois. I'll say the same. Yeah, it's gonna be over.
I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna go over. I just really like Tulia. He declared for the draft, came back. This is his make or break year if he wants to join Tua in the league and get a high enough traffic where he has a chance to make some buzz. I mean, he could be that guy to make the jump for, because the quarterback class for next year is not that deep outside of Drake May and Caleb Williams. So I could definitely see Tulia and them going 8-4. I mean, maybe even 9-3. I mean, I can see them starting 5-0. That Michigan State game, I mean, that could be a toss up. But other than that, the four or five games you're at home, I could see them 4-1 at worst.
Yeah, I think that beginning of the year for them is going to be important. But I think that they're going to thrive. That's going to be where they get most of their wins. It's going to be a rough second half of the year, but.
Yeah, for Maryland, I think they could start off the year 5-0, honestly. So I'm going to go over two. I just think they win the games they're supposed to and then lose the games that they're supposed to lose. Like, I think they lose Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, and maybe Michigan State on the road. But, yeah, I could see Maryland.
It sucks to be a team like Rutgers or Indiana being the Big Ten East.
Yeah,
not many wins are coming.
Yeah. So I do like Maryland this year. I think this will be one of the better Maryland teams we've seen in a while. Yeah. I like them winning 8. I think their peak, they could win 9 games too. So last team, we've got the Wisconsin Badgers, a pretty hyped up team. They hit the portal really hard. They got Tanner Mordecai coming in to replace Graham Mertz at QB. He left to go to Florida. Wisconsin starts the year with Buffalo, Washington State, and then Georgia Southern. As far as non-conference goes. So Wisconsin's line set to 8, kind of high. What do you guys think?
Push.
I'm going to say push or over. I just think they're going to have better offense. They're going to have Luke Fickell is going to be a much better offensive coach than what they had before. And I don't know. I think Braylon Allen is going to continue to be a beast. He was really good, one of the best running backs in the Big Ten behind Chase Brown. And I think they're going to win the division, so I'm going to have to say they're going to go over the 8.
Yeah, I agree with you. Definitely over or push here. Most of me wants to put push in just because that beginning of the year having to play Washington State.
Yeah, Washington State could be it.
And who else was it? Washington State and
Georgia Southern.
Oh, okay, never mind. I thought it was someone else that was a decent opponent. Washington State could be beginning of the year trying to figure things out.
I'm hating like Clay Helton.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think Wisconsin probably – Wisconsin and Iowa are the two best teams in that division at the moment. And Wisconsin fans were definitely not happy last year with the additions on offense and Mordecai. They should be 8-9 wins.
And they'll be jumping around. They'll have Iowa and Ohio State at home this year. So that crowd is going to be electric.
I think they could beat Ohio State.
Yeah, they could. The jump, that song they play – the stadium is rocking.
Dude,
Luke Fickell is definitely going to bring that back.
Yeah, that stadium would fall apart. Camp Randall.
Yeah, that's a great stadium. I think they're going to be back. I think that's my Big Ten West champion is Wisconsin Badgers, and then Big Ten East will be Michigan Wolverines. We'll be meeting up in Lucas Oil.
In the city of motor oil.
That's right.
All right. For me, I'm actually going to go push. I think them and Iowa really duke it out to see who wins the West. And I actually have Iowa. So I am going to go push for Wisconsin. I think they do sweep through their non-conference pretty relatively easily. I could easily see them starting 5-0 as well, but then losing to Iowa, Ohio State, maybe even Nebraska there at the end of the year, and Minnesota. Those are I think the road games there are going to get tough for them. They don't have too hard of a schedule. I definitely think they could beat Iowa. I'm just a little bit higher on Iowa right now just because of that defense. So I am going to go with the push for Wisconsin. I like them winning 8. So that'll wrap up the schedule predictions. Moving on to some individual awards. We'll start with Offensive Player of the Year. Braden, you want to go first?
Give me... I know I said he might get double-teamed a little bit earlier, but, I mean, it's hard to say that Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to be the Offensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten this year. I mean, he is – even if Ohio State only goes 10-2, he is going to have a lot of targets, a lot of passes towards his way. And I think that, I mean, he'll easily be over 1,000, maybe 1,500 yards in receiving with plenty of touchdowns. He is going to be head of that offense. Blake Corum will also be – up for debate for that pick if he can stay healthy, and I mean, expect a lot. Harrison could even be in the mentions for the Heisman. So
yeah, I agree. I think he is Offensive Player of the Year. That's who I'm gonna go with as well. I think he's just gonna get force fed the ball every time. They're gonna have, I mean, they lost, I mean, C.J. Stroud was a big loss. Who that they lost someone else at wide receiver?
JSN.
Yep. He didn't, Jason, who's the other guy who played?
They have Emeka coming back.
They have Emeka. Okay, that dude's good. So, yeah, him and Emeka will be feasting. And they still have Julian Fleming, don't they?
Yeah.
He's good. So, McCord, whoever wins that quarterback battle will not be.
Yeah, he will not be struggling as far as having a supporting
cast. I still think Marvin Harrison's going to get majority of those targets, and I still think he's going to get like 8 or 9 receptions a game and probably like 2 touchdowns a game. And I just think he's best player in that league, and he's going to be the number one receiver drafted next year.
Yeah. Well, let me just be different. Not going to be a sheep, as I stated earlier. This might be a little bit risky of a pick, but I think if Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't exist, Braylon Allen would be the clear-cut best offensive player. And I actually do think that Braylon Allen will have his best year in, I mean, what is this, his 5th year of college football? So I think that Braylon Allen
his 3rd year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
it's... Oh, no, you're right. You're right, yeah. He's just a junior.
Yeah. This is a big draft year. So if he gets the offensive player of the year, he might be, I mean, top 3 running back out of the draft.
I am going to go with Braylon, though, just because Wisconsin's getting a new QB and Tanner Mordecai. He doesn't really know the system as much. So especially in those early weeks, they're going to be really relying on Braylon. He's an absolute tank. He's a beast. Maybe the best running back in college football next year.
That's who I would have said. I mean, I think he will be the player of the year in the Big Ten West for sure.
Yeah, he's got a lot of potential.
And if Wisconsin wants to win that Big Ten division, they're going to have to give – Braylon Allen's going to at least have to go over 1,500 yards.
Yeah. All right, Defensive Player of the Year. Nick, you want to start with this one?
Defensive Player of the Year, we go JT Tuimalu at Ohio State. I mean, he was a freshman last year, but he was a freak, and he had, what was it, like 2 touchdowns, 2 fumbles – and 2 forced fumbles, and he picked one up on his own and brought it to touchdown. He had a big year last year. I think he's going to have to carry that Ohio State defense because they were not very good last year, so he's going to have to bring it. They want to win, take down Michigan and own the Big Ten again. They're going to have to be better on defense because the offense is still going to be elite.
Yeah, so Campbell did not declare for the draft?
No, he did. Campbell did declare for the draft.
Okay, so he will not be...
No.
Okay, so, sorry, we're reading off the script here. But I'm going to have to stick with you.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, I think that he's young. He has the potential to be almost maybe Will Anderson. Like, maybe it's hard to say that anyone's going to be that good.
Depends. Big Ten's a hard division to read with.
Yeah, it's so hard to tell with kind of how explosive the offense is and how weak the defenses tend to be. But, I mean, it's... That's what it's for, making a hot takes.
That's right.
For me, I'm going with Kalen King. He's a corner out of Penn State. We talked earlier about how Penn State lost 2 of their best corners, including Joey Porter, who will be a first-round draft pick. With as good as Porter was last year, he didn't really get targeted as much, so Kalen King did. Kalen King had the 2nd highest coverage grade in the conference. He had 16 forced incompletions, 9 pass breakups, and 3 picks. Very good future for Kalen King, and I think that he'll be an absolute stud next year for the Nittany Lions. I think he'll be the best defensive player in the Big Ten. Breakout player. All right. You want to start us on this?
I'm going to go Tanner Mordecai. A lot of people don't really know who Tanner Mordecai is that do not watch or that that don't watch non-Power 5 schools, but I mean, he led that SMU offense last year to some crazy high-scoring games, and I think that it's exactly what Wisconsin needs, and he's going to be a perfect fit there. And his offensive style fits really well with the new coaching process. And I think he's definitely going to make a name for himself in Madison.
Yeah, for sure. If Penn State wants to get back to a New Year's Six Bowl, they're going to have to rely on this guy, and that guy is Drew Allar. I think he's going to be the breakout year. It's his first year as a starter for Penn State. He's a five-star prospect, so hopefully he lives up to the hype. I just think Penn State's going to be – I mean, they're going to lose. I think they have bring back Parker Washington or White, one of the two, receiver, and he's going to look for him a lot. And I think he does have Katron Allen and Nick Singleton. They're both two really good 1-2 combo for running back coming back for their sophomore year. But I don't know, it's just make or break a year for James Franklin. I'm just going to have to rely on that quarterback to get him some big-time wins.
Yeah. I'm going to go another quarterback, Hudson Card for Purdue. He transferred from Texas. This is a guy that came in against Alabama when Ewers went down on one leg and almost led Texas to a huge upset. Hudson Card's an absolute stud. He's not a bad QB at all, and I don't think he'll fit in really well with the Big Ten style of play. He's got some shoes to fill. As I said earlier, Purdue actually did make it to the conference championship game last year. That being said, I don't think he'll stutter at all. I think that offense will be just as good as it was last year, and I think Hudson Card will have a fantastic year getting the start at Purdue.
Yeah.
All right, so for our conference championship predictions, I'll get us started here. I like Michigan winning again. What would that be, a three-peat Wolverines? I like them beating Iowa. I have Iowa, as I said earlier, Iowa and Wisconsin going to be kind of battling it out in that West Division. I like Iowa this time. I think that Iowa wins that West Division. But unfortunately for them, I think they just get absolutely creamed in the championship game to Michigan. I think Michigan's going to the playoffs again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you here with Michigan over Iowa, but I might not agree on the outcome of the game. It's too early to tell at this point how good, I mean, Michigan with so many returning players, but that Iowa defense, if they can finally get some offense there, they might be able to, Michigan could go 12-0 in the regular season, drop the conference championship game to Iowa. And then Wisconsin is a name to toss around there, but I think it's just not their year to be back in the championship, but they may find themselves competing for a pretty good bowl game. But, I just don't think it's their year to be in Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to go Michigan over Wisconsin. I think I'm high on Wisconsin. I think they're going to win because they're going to have – their best games are at home, so I think they're gonna have to take care of business, and Luke Fickell knows how to do that. So I'm gonna say Wisconsin is gonna make it to the Big Ten championship, but lose to Michigan. Michigan is gonna cruise into the playoffs for a third straight year.
All right, well, that, ladies and gentlemen, is gonna wrap up our Big Ten conference prediction. Not really sure which one we'll do next. But, we'll figure it out as we get there. And for that being said, I'm Caden Johnson.
I'm Braden Friedman.
And I'm Nicholas Elliott.
And this is the 4th and Goal Podcast, signing off.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.